everybody. Welcome to the Dual Screens Games Cast episode 4. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, it is Andy Asimakis. How are you, bud?
How about a Kirby fleshlight? It's really big. But it's
That's
it
huge.
Can accommodate my massive schlong.
Indeed. You got that Coke can-sized peen.
It's girthy.
Very girthy.
It's all about the girth.
You know, is it? I feel like that would hurt more. I feel like that prepares females for childbirth way too early.
Right, but it serves a double function. Would you prefer that or a pencil dick?
If the pencil dick's got that little hook on the end, you know what I mean? Get all up in those good spots. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that area. What you're referring to?
Yeah.
Talking more like a you thing than a me thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dual Screens Games Cast, a show where Andy and I, and sometimes a third wheel, go over the top stories from the big three companies, and we debate who had the best and worst week, as well as discussing gaming's past, present, and future. The Dual Screens Games Cast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And of course, you can find everything that we do on dualscreens.com. Please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts if that is the service that you use. If there is another service that you use and they have a review section, please leave us a review. It would be incredibly, incredibly helpful to us. On this week's show, Sony may be getting representation in Smash Bros. Ninja Theory has another game in development. Sony may be buying a new studio, and Epic may have ruined PC gaming. But before we get into the show, let me tell you about our two other shows that we do right here on this same podcast network. We have the Dual Screens Podcast, which is an interview show where we bring on an industry guest to tell us their story. You can catch that right here each and every Thursday. And we are doing our first of our four seasonal shows, and this Friday was the second episode of Andy Explains It All, a show where one idiot, our smartest idiot, Andy, explain something to me, our dumbest idiot, that I know nothing about. And this week's topic was Metal Gear. And it was a 2-hour and 22-minute epic.
That was exhausting. So that was like the Olympics of podcasting for me.
I didn't want to listen to you anymore by the end of it. I got to be completely honest. But you know what?
Yeah, neither did I.
It was a blast. I had a great time doing it. And I appreciate you teaching me all the things that I didn't know about the Metal Gear. I mean, there was I knew most of it. I forgot a whole lot of it. I'm very happy I missed nothing in Metal Gear 5.
I forgot that. Like, oh yeah, I repressed that. Now fuck you for making me remember that shit.
Yeah. I was also surprised at how I have no recollection of beating Metal Gear Solid 3, but apparently I knew the entire ending of that game, so maybe I did beat it and I just forgot, or I just watched cutscenes. I don't know. But anyway, if you want to know all about Metal Gear and Metal Gear Solid, please check out Andy Explains It All. I posted it on Friday. It's right here in the same chat. And if you're watching on YouTube, it has its own playlist, so you could click on that. Speaking of YouTube, if you are watching this video on YouTube, please consider giving us a subscribe, a thumbs up on the video, hit the little bell button so you know when we're posting our next episode or our next gameplay video. Speaking of gameplay videos, we did do a Dual Screens first play of Demon Pit, which went up on Tuesday. I have another one in the works for Tuesday. It's going to be a once a week thing. It's just becoming too much work for me to do too much more than that. So every Tuesday, you're going to get a new Dual Screens first play. And if you want to support us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without your support. We do a ton of additional bonus content that you can get for various tiers on there. So please, we have something for everybody. All right, it is time for the adventures in gaming. Gaming, 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 gaming. Andy, what have you been playing, bud?
Is that echo thing going to be a constant when we do this segment?
I don't know. I kind of liked it.
It was okay. it's hard to play new things. We have a backlog, and if I don't play the backlog, I have to pay money that I would use to buy new games.
Correct.
I can't buy new games because if I buy them, then I can't play the backlog games. So either way, I'm losing money.
Correct.
So this is like the worst shit deal we ever came up with. But I am I am almost done with Nioh. It's like right there. I played Galgun 2 last night.
Ooh, okay.
And it's
why? Never mind. Don't answer that. Continue.
It's a game night. Kind of game, and it's when you're drunk with friends and slightly stoned and
like
2 a.m. and Galgun comes out. It was like a very late holiday party because we all kind of work in different places and getting us all on one roof at the same time is difficult. So I bought the Galgun 2, the free hugs edition box set, which came with a lot of stuff in it. So my idea was we'd unwrap it together and each person gets a piece of the collector's edition.
Oh my God. Okay. So what did you end up with?
Someone got the art book. Someone got the little pins. Someone got it looked like a cock holster. It was like a fabric, but it was like, it wasn't for a phone.
No.
And there's a little,
bring, and the, unless it was a bing, 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 right. Banana phone.
Right. There was a plushie, which I'm pretty sure is a clit. Pretty sure that's what it represents in the game.
Good Lord.
Right.
And this, wow. Okay. Well, whatever.
So we did that and we played a Galgun for like an hour or two because it's fun watching little girls in swimsuits moan in pleasure while you squirt them in the face.
Right.
And then you try to suck up little demons that are on their shoulders and on their heads.
Sure. As you
so
do.
I played Galgun 2. I'm so glad that Facebook and PS4 don't have any more connectivity because a lot of trophies popped last night.
Oh.
And the last time that happened, I think you were all up in my shit because you were like, what are you playing? It was like a 6-hour marathon. And it was like trophy after trophy.
What the hell are you doing?
And they don't have flattering names. The names are very embarrassing. Like, I want enough list as it is. There's just one more to add to that. So well, Galgun 2,
right?
Nioh, and what was that?
You could hide the trophies, right?
Right, you can. But at this point, I don't want to. So Galgun 2, Nioh, and a little bit of Dead Cells. And that's been my weekend. How about
fancy.
You?
So I am just past, I am at the 3-quarter mark on one of our backlog games. One of the indie backlog games, so we'll talk about that in the post show.
Mm-hmm.
The other game, the AAA game, I am on the second to last chapter of. So I'm going to wrap both of those up either tonight, tomorrow, or Tuesday. But the aforementioned Demon Pit, that took me on quite a tangent, Andy. Because I wasn't, you know, usually, typically when I make these first play videos, I literally, that's all I do. I record the what I feel like recording, I hit stop, I go in, I edit it, and I put it up in the back end of either YouTube, I schedule it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept playing Demon Pit. Like, it's stupid fun. It's really, it really doesn't reinvent the wheel in any way, shape, or form. For those of you who don't know what Demon Pit is, it's a Doom-like arena wave survival shooter. So you're literally just, it's like survival wave one, shoot. Then the map kind of changes a little bit. Like walls will come up or lasers will shoot at you. And it's a really challenging game. Like I think I got up to maybe wave 6 or 7 at the most. Cause it gets kind of bonkers, especially with the obstacles. And you only get, at least up until then, there's only 4 health pickups and they only give you 25 health out of 100. Mm-hmm. So if you get your ass kicked, you're going to get your ass kicked, and it's hard.
It looks like really a lot of fun, though.
It was definitely a lot of fun. But yeah, so I enjoyed that. Playing some Apex, got some victories with Mikey Kirsch over the weekend.
That's his first name. I had no idea.
Yeah, Mikey Kirsch. We have... we have some Apex news to talk about as well during the show, so a little sneak preview of that. All right, Andy.
Yes.
Those are our adventures in gaming, and now it is time to get the Indie news update.
We got to work on that. We got to work on all those things. We should get music. Maybe like a little thing.
Indie.
Something. Yeah. Or like we can have someone just record that freshly for us, like, you know. I just want you to stop doing things, is what I'm trying to say.
But I like things. I like doing things.
I like doing things.
Indie news update. All right, what do you got for us?
So I saw this game called Lazer with the best spelling, L-A-Z-R. It's like, already, I'm already sold.
Lazer.
So I'm not sure. I think someone on Twitter that we follow did a retweet of this game. It was either a trailer or an animation. It's like a 2D side-scrolling pixel platformer, but it has these crazy, awesome cloth physics.
Okay.
Where, like, the ladders would sway when you would jump onto them, and the way things catch on fire looked very realistic. I'm like, that looks really cool. I was like, oh, DMs are open. Awesome. I'm going to talk to that guy. And he's like, I'll talk to you, but I'm doing a Kickstarter thing. I was like, great. I'll just throw money at you until you're ready to talk to me. So this game,
you hear that? You heard that, folks? It's bribery.
Right. So this game recently launched on Kickstarter. It's Lazer, L-A-Z-R, a cyberpunk cloth former. Yeah, we have strand games and cloth formers. So new genres are popping up left and right. That's how it is now in gaming. So I think the goal is about 10K, which isn't a lot for Kickstarter. It's got about 10% knocked out, so he's got 30 days left to get this done, and let's make it happen. Because
so
this
it literally just went live, huh?
It did, yeah. Cool. It did.
Awesome.
So that looks pretty
cloth
neat.
Former.
Yeah. I'm into that.
Well, that's it. That's your indie news update. So now, before we get into the dual screens report, we're going to tell you the things that didn't make the cut. Yes. Of the dual screens report. Starting first, Andy, why don't you start us off with the first one at the top?
This made me sad. It was apparently the ID Software was talking about the idea of the Doomslayer as a potential Smash Brothers character.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's not going to happen. But then they were all like, it's not going to happen yet. But I don't think it's going to happen. But I learned something new recently that Doom Eternal has the same release date as Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So I feel like it sort of should happen because that'd be the best day to announce that awesome collaboration. Like, hey guys, we have a new Doom game, a new Nintendo game on the same day. Guess what? Now Doom's in Smash. It seems like almost too perfect. But yeah. I also thought for a second, maybe, because I think Doom ID Software really wants to have that character in Smash. They've been asking, like, we're open to it. Let's do it. And Nintendo was, like, not responsive. Just, no, it's not really.
Yeah.
We don't want that. So I'm thinking, did ID Software delay their game just to undercut Animal Crossing sales? But then two different kind of games. But I think
very
it's,
different
yeah,
audiences.
That's, like, tinfoil hat territory. But, again, it's a fun idea. Given the last kind of lukewarm character reveal for Smash, the last of the season one pass, I feel like this would have been a fun addition. And to see the chances dwindle away a little bit more makes me upset.
Could be a classic misdirection. You never know.
But there's better news coming in this category come the actual news report. So stay tuned.
Indeed.
Foreshadowing.
Indeed. So there was something going around on Twitter of a supposed PS5 boot up sequence.
See, now, okay, I saw this, and I think it was always going to be, from the get-go, it was always just a fan thing. Do people not understand how things work?
Anyway, it looks fake as shit. It doesn't even look like
shit.
But it doesn't even look like it's actually on that screen. It looks like the whole image is CG.
Yeah, no.
Like, placed over a black screen or
something.
And this
ass thing gets 55,000 views?
Yeah, well, people are very excited. You know, PlayStation 4 is the best, or, you know, best console generation. Sony's got the most hardcore fan base. Suck at Xbox. Speaking of Xbox, another one that did not make the list. Why don't you take this one?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at this shitty fake-ass intro. Oh, this made me happy. So, Xbox, or I should say Ninja Theory, teased a upcoming horror game called Project Mara, which looks like it stars the same girl from the Hellblade franchise, which I swear to God, I am vowing right now on the podcast, if future guest. I will get her on the show because I've been obsessed with her since Hellblade, and I need to know her life and her story.
The whole story and nothing but the story.
Podcast episode on the Dual Screens podcast. So they showed this game, and it made me wet, obviously, because it looks like a horror game out the gate. And it's the kind of stuff I want to see more of from Ninja Theory, not Bleeding Edge. So
yeah,
I would rather those kind of swap. Like, maybe we don't release this shitty game. But then again, I feel that's just how they pad Game Pass, because that's part of the deal, I think, with all these developers coming on board.
Right.
Like, make something that can make Game Pass like more of an appealing platform and service, which it is already, because it's so cheap and you get a lot of value out of it.
Like a six to eight hour experience.
Right.
High quality stuff. We'll see.
Listen,
let's move on, because this is all the stuff that didn't make it.
Right. Let's keep going.
All right. So Little Town Hero is coming to PlayStation 4.
Yes, it is.
In April. And I thought that was interesting because that is a Game Freak game and released on the Switch, and it didn't do well at all.
No, it didn't review well either.
No, it didn't. So I'm wondering if they make some changes for the PS4 version or if it's just a street port.
You're trying to get some sales, I guess. But it's funny how we have Xbox games going to Switch, now Switch games going to PS4. So you were going to get God of War on Xbox. That's how that's how the loop goes. Yeah, Team Besties.
And then finally, here on the things that didn't make the cut, Apex Legends Season 4 preview. They had a dev stream talking about the previews of Season 4. Quick rundown of the changes. We have a new hero coming. His name is Forge. Don't have anything else. So it's called the season is called Assimilation. We have Forge is the new hero. He's kind of like an MMA fighter. He's focused on melee combat.
That name doesn't match the what he does then. Forge?
He's got a cybernetic or cyborg arm. He is the first sponsored fighter. He's sponsored by Hammond Robotics, which was in Titanfall. We're going to get a new weapon, the Sentinel Sniper Rifle, which has some sort of charging mechanic where you could do more damage.
Isn't there a Forge in X-Men that has like a metal things going on?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, go on.
It doesn't matter.
Go on. I didn't say that.
There's Season Ranked is going to be split up into two halves of throughout Season 4. So you're going to have the first ranked season... half season is going to be on World's Edge, and then the second half is going to be on the old map, King's Canyon, which is pretty cool. And of course, they're going to do like events throughout the season as well. So those are just a few of the previews that you're going to get. We're going to get a full reveal of what Forge is all about. The Sentinel, obviously, we're going to see it in action, what kind of ammo it takes, all that fun stuff.
Forge, so if you like and Apex the Sentinel, Legend, now it's just X-Men.
That could just be a nice little tip of the hat.
Sure, yeah. Is Magneto?
So
I've
been saying it forever. Apex needs to get sponsored costume packs like the DC Universe, and X-Men would be a perfect one. You could dress them in like X-Men inspired outfits and like Brotherhood inspired outfits. That would be magnifique. All right, so let's get into the Dual Screens Report, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is how the Dual Screens Report is going to go. Each one of the big three companies, that's Sony, Nintendo, and Xbox, we're going to pick the one story that we think was really the top story for them this week. And of course, we're going to throw in a wild card story, and we are then going to crown who is the winner of the week and who are the losers of the week. And sometimes Andy and I don't agree, and that just means that we have two winners or two losers. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. And Buzz Killington, a.k.a. Dual Screen Superfan Zach, is keeping a tabulation of all of this. So if you have questions as to who ranks where, who is the biggest winners or losers, just go to him directly.
Did we approve this tabulation?
Doesn't matter. Just at him,
at
Buzz Killington, as much as possible. Andy?
Yes?
I want to start with the wild card.
Oh, that is like the wild card, very unexpected.
Yes, indeed. This comes from DualShockers.com, so go give them a click. Epic Game Store launch hurt PC spending, according to NPD. Epic's Game Store is contributing to PC digital sales decline across all platforms, including Steam, according to NPD analyst Matt Piscatella. Let no one say that the competition always builds a healthy marketplace. According to the leading game sales expert, Matt Piscatella, the introduction of the Epic Game Store into PC gaming marketplace led to lower overall consumer spending on PC content across every distribution platform. While the notion of multiple software platforms like Steam and Epic Game Store might have sold gamers on driving both innovation and competition among markets, new reports may be indicating that it is only driving some consumers away. Very interesting. And here's the tweet. The great PC distribution platform wars of 2019 did not do consumer spending on PC content any favors, by the way. Priorities of enhancing consumer experiences and choice and minimalizing confusion were all de-emphasized in 2019, contributing to lower overall consumer spend on PC content. Very, very interesting. Yeah. The complete opposite of what we figured was going to happen with this.
Yeah, I think it was that's a weird kind of, I don't know if it's like a brand loyalty thing, but I feel most people who would have, like, my thought is people who wanted to buy X game on Steam and now it's suddenly on Epic and for some sort of timed deal, they're like, well, fuck that. I'm not going to support Epic Game Store because I like Steam. Right. So I'll either pass on that or just buy it on console so I can play it now and not wait like
Speaking of console. Buzz Killington makes a valid point here in the chat. He says, I like how they blame that, but not Game Pass PC. Because Game Pass PC is giving away games
that would
left and right.
Sort of also play a factor, yeah.
Yeah.
But then that's again, very also interesting. I think overall game sales weren't as high as they were the year prior. I think things are on a decline overall.
True.
But I wonder what, like, if you were to compare like a 1-to-1 ratio, like the console sales, game sales compared to 2018, 2019, then enough of a dip that I would imagine that this is
right
headline news. But yeah, that's a good point. I think both are a factor.
I also think that games of service are a factor because there are more people playing one game now.
Right.
Like a Dead by Daylight, Fortnite, Apex Legends, right. Return to Tarkov.
We gotta compare what kind of games we're talking about here because
it just says spending. So I assume that also means microtransactions. It means any sort of purchasing on any sort of digital platform. Like if you go in and you're playing a free-to-play game, like a Fortnite or an Apex Legends, Dauntless, you're playing a free-to-play game.
Right.
So you're not spending anything, but you might spend $10 every 3 months or 4 months on like a season pass or something.
See, this goes back to our other kind of conversation about success metrics, like you can talk about Game Pass, how if there's a downward trend of sales, but now we're talking about subscriptions for a service,
it's
a different
that doesn't count kind of because you're not subscribing to Epic Games Store.
right
Interesting. It's an interesting thing to say the least. All right, let's go. Why don't you go up to PlayStation? Why don't you take that one?
Ooh, this one I read on Reddit and I was like, no, don't do this to me. We've been on this road before. Let me just click the link. I should have had it at the ready. But it's like when you're called in class and you're not ready for the answer. It's like,
this story makes me feel very comfortable with the relationship between these two.
Right. If I can just get the link to open.
The link is giving you a problem.
No, it's fine. So apparently, seems by way of the most reliable source in games rumors, Hip Hop Gamer, who I once sat next to on the bus to PAX East. Yes, it was last year.
We met him.
He's like when I was a young quote unquote games journalist, which means I had a blog.
Right.
I despised Hip Hop Gamer because of the arrogance and the character.
It's a character,
right?
Yeah.
But I was like, oh shit, he's just doing a thing, so I can't hate on that. But he's a great guy. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah, you met him on the bus going to PAX East, right?
Oh, but I've known him for a while, but it was our first legit like more than 5 minute conversation.
Yeah,
but anyway, but he's also not the most reliable source because I know he's been banned from sites like N4G, which is News for Gamers, for those who don't know that one, .com for posting. I think it was false rumors. Like he would just make things up and post them. Again, that's all allegations.
Right.
That just the why that shit went down. But he's saying on Twitter, talking about the PS5, that Sony is thinking about purchasing Hideo Kojima's studio, Kojima Productions, and they're going to produce his next big game, which is going to be a horror game. Now, this sounds like an educated guess.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I feel like if you've seen Kojima talk at any convention or a panel about the making of Death Stranding, he speaks very highly of Sony. They've been together for a long time since PS1 with the first Metal Gear Solid.
They clearly don't get involved in his projects.
Right.
Other
clearly,
by Death
no
Stranding.
Oversight is what he's working on. they basically helped him start his company from scratch. Like they gave him money, they gave him like a building, they gave him,
the engine,
they gave him an engine, they gave him an office. So it makes sense to me that they would get into bed together.
Sure.
Now, the one thing that I feel like it's not true is, would Kojima want to be bought out so soon after just being independent? Like, you just left Konami. I mean, it's been 4 years, but still, you've had your first big release by yourself as an independent developer.
Right.
You know what that world is like, being beholden to someone.
Yeah.
And his name carries enough clout that he could stay independent for as long as he wants to.
My thinking of if he was to do something like this is that he knows the difference between a company that's looking to get out of gaming and then PlayStation. Like, there's a huge difference between the two. Like, he knows that games are always going to be there. And not only that, but Sony makes movies.
Right. And so, that's a good end for him.
Exactly. This could be a boondoggle for him.
Right.
Because we know he wants to get into movies. Who's to say his first movie isn't an Advent Children-like CG generated like film, you know, like, and he could totally do something like that. He needs, you know, people there to make sure his shit makes sense. But
right.
I think he's a pretty damn good storyteller.
He has good eye for a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just needs someone to translate better and to like help him like take his head out of his ass, I feel, is what has to happen. And the other part of this is the whole horror game thing. Well, that's you go to his Twitter. He talked about
that came from his
horror films to get ready to make the best horror game, and he talked about PT. Like that was a thing I did. I didn't get to finish that, but maybe one day I'll get to do my horror game.
And that's where those rumors of him back in bed with Konami came from.
Right. There was a rumor that this is the best one that Konami was lending the Silent Hill IP to Kojima, and that Sony was funding the game. I was like, where do people, I understand, like, you can't just will things into existence.
Konami has been making a few good decisions in between about 1,000 terrible ones.
Right.
So I don't see how that's even possible. No, not at all. God, no.
But hey, if it's true, you know, why not? There was a recent interview I read from Kojima that he was talking about his next projects, and he mentioned like doing a manga or doing an anime or doing a movie, and it was like all over the place, and doing indie games, like a smaller like indie type game, while doing one massive game in the background. So again, this is all based on things that it sounds like it could be real, but there's no grounds for this yet. But we'll see. We shall see.
Yes, we shall. All right, so let's move on to the... We're moving at a breakneck speed. I like this. Because you know what? It's a lot of rumors, and there's only so much you could say about rumors.
It's like the rumor show, I feel.
This is the Nintendo's story here. Yeah. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's next DLC character reportedly revealed. I feel like that is a terrible headline. This is coming from comicbook.com on their gaming section. In just a few days, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's next DLC character, Fire Emblem Three Houses protagonist Byleth, will join the massive roster of the Nintendo blah, 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 blah. More specifically, it looks like PlayStation is poised to finally get some representation in the long-running and best-selling platform fighter via the one and only Crash Bandicoot, who is technically owned by Activision, but was once one of the mascots of the PlayStation brand. Word of Crash Bandicoot being the next DLC character comes way of Twitter user Mandycan. Scroll down. All right, so this person revealed that Byleth was the next DLC character, and after Terry Bogard. So there's some clout there.
Did they also guess Terry?
No, this like right after Terry was revealed, they said that Byleth was the next character. So after saying that Byleth was the would be the game's fifth DLC character, they also made the claim that Crash Bandicoot would follow. This is a claim that they are sticking by. That said, Mandycan notes they won't be talking about Crash Bandicoot in any capacity until the character officially releases. Of course, given that this isn't official information, means that it should be taken with a grain of salt, yada yada, as we know. Who knows where these people get these things? They could just be educated guesses. They could be kind of reading the tea leaves, seeing release calendars, and you know, it could be wishful thinking. I don't know. It could be, hey, I guessed great on the last one. Now if I say something that with gusto, people are going to believe me, I get more followers, yada yada. I don't know. It could be something like that. I think what we are reporting here, what we are going to talk about here, is that this would be a really good, smart addition to Smash Bros. To recognize gaming's legacy, and not just a Nintendo legacy. You know, Crash Bandicoot was an extremely important piece of gaming history in the mid to late 90s. Like, Crash Bandicoot was the anti-Nintendo, the anti-Super Mario. And to have him there as part of the characters, you could have these characters interact in that way, they could snip at each other, stuff like that. I think that would be a really cool thing to see, and honestly, it would be, to me, it's long overdue. I feel like it should have, when the Insane Trilogy came over and Nitro Racing, when that came over, that's when they really should have put him in the game. But I guess, what if Naughty Dog is making a Crash Bandicoot game right now for Activision or whatever? What if there's another Crash Bandicoot game being made right now? Naughty Dog wouldn't have been a good choice for that, but you know what I mean. But they did put him in. They did put that playable section in Uncharted 4,
mm-hmm.
which is weird. But anyway, what if they're making something, and maybe that's why Nintendo wanted to wait, because they wanted to wait for the new thing to come out. I don't know.
I feel like this, the idea of Mario and Crash sort of fighting each other, it makes me very happy. Put a smile on my face. He'd also play very differently. He's got the spin, the belly flop. You know, I think he'd be a lot of fun.
His like down B could be throwing.
Right.
His down B could be throwing like the big crates.
Or apples.
Yeah. Up B can be apple.
I feel like this could also be a chance for some fun Mario Kart DLC. A crossover thing. If this is true, why not capitalize on further and get him, you know, in two games rather than just one? But yeah, I feel like at this point, anything they could announce, like Boo, and it would be better than Byleth at this point, because to me that was such a letdown. So this is a fun rumor. Again, I don't understand who these people are, where they get the information from. I want to follow this a little bit and see what the reaction is like if it's false. Because there's always that sense of, listen, guys, you don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you it's true. Mm. How do you walk that back? So I kind of want to, I never kind of follow up on certain things, but I want to see where this goes and just kind of find out if they can say, all right, I was wrong. I made it up. I'm just curious about the kind of thing.
Another educated guess for a character in this next pack would be a Battletoad slash Double Dragon thing. Like maybe like you get the Battletoads in there, but like the Double Dragons are Bimmy
Fighter.
And Jimmy. Or not echoes, they're just like trophies or stickers or whatever the fuck they're called.
Stickers? Pins? So
those dumb things are called. Spirits. That's the word I'm looking for.
That's even worse than being a trophy. You don't do anything if you're a fucking spirit.
I think Waluigi is going to be the last character they put
no,
in.
No, listen, that's not...
Yes, I think we're done, this is the last character, it's going to be Waluigi.
I don't want it to happen. Because this is why people want it so bad, I want it to not happen. That's the asshole in me.
I know.
Stop.
You've said this before.
Right?
I believe it.
Like, not going to happen.
I understand it.
It's not he's an assist trophy. Not going to happen. Forget about it. It's over.
Forget about it.
What's our last story of the day?
I don't know. You put it in there.
Okay. This is a story that I feel we hear like twice a year.
This is Xbox's story.
Out of Microsoft. And I was like,
huge.
Cool. Like, okay. This is the thing. So Phil Spencer is at it again. Talking about Japan, of all things. Like, because they're huge in Japan.
Give up, man.
So there was this very cryptic yet exciting tweet from
Phil Spencer.
Which says, and I quote, amazing week in Japan talking Xbox Series X at Xbox Game Pass and Project xCloud with publishers and studios. Played announced and unannounced games. Talked hashtag E3 2020. You gotta, you know, slip that in there. And discussed gaming's future.
Oh, yeah.
Always motivated.
Just like on this podcast.
By the amazing creative talent here in Japan. Again, I feel like once or twice a year, there's always this Phil or someone from MS goes to Japan for some conversation, and things are always looking great. And at the end of the day, it's 5 Xbox One sold in Japan. So I understand what the strategy here is. There was a talk of them wanting this to be like a tier one console in Japan, the Series X, or it was called the Scarlet back in the day when they made this announcement, or this, like, I guess, goal of theirs. But I don't see it happening. I really don't see it happening. They don't have enough of an appeal. Like, the things that Xbox gamers are drawn to, I think only works for the majority here in the States and a small fraction across the globe. It doesn't have that global appeal. And yes, you're buying studios. Yes, you bought Ninja Theory. But no. I don't know what it's going to take. And they tried with the Lost Dragon for the Xbox 360. They've made attempts before to tap into that market, but they can't make it work for some reason.
Yes, but I want to take this argument and look at it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of like turn things a little bit.
Sure.
The United States is much more open to Japanese style gaming than
we are.
I think really since the 90s.
I mean, FF7 did that in large. I think
Final Fantasy, I know, but even the success of Final Fantasy 15, Final Fantasy 14 is huge here. You have Yakuza series is blowing up here all of a sudden.
Persona.
You have Persona series is exploding here. You have Resident Evil exploding here.
Easily appeals to us. It's just zombies and guns.
It's Japanese centric.
That transcends
studios. All
boundaries of the world.
So what I'm thinking is they're going there to get Japanese studios to sign on to making these games because now they know that Xbox, for lack of a better term, does dominate in the States. Like, it's the only place where they're close to Sony, if not better than Sony.
Right.
It's just Sony could annihilates them everywhere else. So maybe Japan is thinking, okay, you guys do sell in the States. You have something coming up that's really great. Game Pass is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's no harm in putting their games on Xbox.
Oh, and, of course not.
And pushing it. And then maybe through some sort of reverse osmosis, the service becomes more appealing to Japanese, and then they could start to really get their foot in the market, maybe towards like the middle of the gen. So, but I think this is really a move to get Japanese games over here to appeal to Western audiences.
Right.
Because that's what they're getting. Yakuza, they're getting all the Final Fantasies.
Right.
This is happening already.
Right. So I feel like this is not really about getting Xbox to be big in Japan, because I think it's a brand loyalty issue as well, because Sony and Nintendo are just, they're too much of a household item in Japan. And to have the exclusive game route, that sounds like a big risk. Like, they can take a financial hit, Microsoft, and hey, make us this awesome RPG for our system and only we'll sell it. And that's fine.
I'm not even talking exclusive, though. Like, right, I'm talking about wrapping up a Game Pass deal.
Right. And I feel that's the main thrust. I feel like it's going to be just scraps, like Yakuza or Persona. Like, let's get games that are already on PS4 or Switch onto Xbox, so our Xbox gamers here in the States who don't own the competing consoles can play them.
See, I think it's different. I think it's the next Persona, the next Final Fantasy, the next whatever, we want it on Game Pass. So we are going to make this attractive for you, show you the system, show you the power of our system, but also show you the power of our services. And you are going to get way more people playing your game in the States because of the services and the tech that we offer.
Yeah,
because
but you
of
see,
the Xbox Play Anywhere, all that other
right,
shit.
But you see that word there? Playing your game as opposed to buying your game.
Yeah, but but Microsoft is buying the game.
Right.
They make money off of Game Pass.
Like, right. But
studios and publishers make money.
Is that a one time shot deal? Like here's a satchel of cash.
There are varying degrees of the deals. Like I've heard from multiple different sources that the way these things work is like a smaller independent studio will get, let's say, a small chunk of change to cover the cost of.
All right,
you know,
we're gonna bring a guest on that has a game on Game Pass, and I'm gonna get way blunt with it and be like that.
They may not be able to divulge it, but like
what I've heard. What's the nature of the deal? Because I'm just curious how it works. Like,
what I've heard is that they pay it up front,
right?
And then if they pay up front, the less money they pay per download or per play.
Essentially, if you can say to someone, you can either, we'll give you more money now, but you get less on the back end.
Right.
Or take a lesser cut now, then maybe if it gets traction, you'll make more.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of how that's how the structure, the Witcher, CD Projekt, when the author gave them the rights to make the games, they said, we could give you this much up front, or you could take a percentage of the sales. And the guy was like, oh, this thing's going to fail miserably.
Right.
So he took the money up front and then regretted
that
immediately.
Funky ass combat. And now it's right. Like Netflix live show and animated series? Son of a bitch.
Well, yeah. So I think that's how it's done. And I think that's also how it's done with Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Epic is a little bit more. Is well, not a little bit. They're a lot more friendly to the developers on the side of the deal. Like if you're using their engine, you get more money per sale. But also, I think with their free games, I think they do pay quite a bit for it. And it's really just if you have the money, it's an investment as a publisher, right? It's an investment in your product.
It is, but on the other hand, if you look at the kind of games Japanese players are interested in, it's a lot of it is Nintendo, and a lot of it will never come to like a Game Pass service. And it's not, I don't see, like, this shouldn't be read as we're trying to appeal to people in Japan, like, to get them to come to our side. I think that ship has sailed a long time ago. If this is about getting more things from that side of the globe into the hands of Xbox gamers here, that's fine. I'm into that. And for a cheap price or as a part of a service package, doubly fine. But I feel like this make no, like, this isn't in about Japan going Team Xbox. That, no, that isn't going to happen. I just don't see it happening.
Yep.
Alrighty.
All right. That is, those are the top four stories, the rumors. They're all rumors and speculation.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot.
Who is the winner of the rumor mill?
Oh, Andy? Boy. So maybe the listener, because they had heard a great show.
They did. You did.
So I feel like it's harder to pick a loser from all of this because there's so much that's like, eh. So I'm going to make some...
Well, I think the biggest loser is the Epic
right. so,
store. Like, there's still a lot of outstanding information there that we need.
Right.
But that's a shitty story.
So I feel like, for me, it's a toss between that and the Crash Bandicoot because... And let me explain to you why. I feel like with PlayStation and Xbox, we have at least new hardware coming out. And these rumors slash speculation at least is based on really fun things coming down the
pipeline.
Something
exciting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rumor for a potential Smash character. And I think for a long time, this is all Nintendo has, at least for this year. I'm sure things will get like big towards E3.
Yeah.
But they're not going to have a lot of headline grabbers. So this feels like this is the best we can do because there's not much else. Like, Animal Crossing's coming out. Great. But the excitement, I feel, isn't there. That's based on, let's say it's true, then that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's a toss up. I feel like I'm leaning more towards the Epic because it's cold hard facts and it's,
yeah.
It's like, well,
yeah,
you launch a service, you paid for exclusives, well, timed exclusives, and you're giving away free games, and you've somehow hampered and diminished PC game sales.
Yeah. I think that's our biggest loser is right. The Epic fail. And I think the winner, I mean, the hip hop gamer,
he gets the most outrageous story award.
Like, come on, man. Like, if that's true, that's awesome. It really is. But I think honestly the winner's probably Xbox.
Right, because it's still trying and it's,
yeah, because it's yeah.
You can at least say to yourself, they'll get something out of this. Like, him going there it'll yield something. There'll be some value there to his visit.
Jesus Christ, if it doesn't, we have problems.
But again, this will all goes back to, we hear the same thing every couple of years. Like,
I know.
We're going to Japan, guys. Great. You have no games here.
Well, that is the dual screens report. Okay, so we got our biggest loser is Epic with them killing PC gaming single-handedly. And our biggest winner is Xbox with Phil tweeting like that he's doing a lot of shit in Japan. So good luck to you, sir. And now it is time to get into the hype zone. And boy, Sony brought the thunder. The hammer is down. Because China is getting fucking... What are they thinking? Is there no limit to what China won't rip off?
I just feel like China has got a massive pair of balls on them. We're like in the midst of trade wars and, you know, new deals being signed, and they just don't learn. It's like, no, we're still going to try and do this shit.
And of course, what we're referring to is this beautiful fucking gem from worldeyepreview.com. Sony strikes down Lord of War trademark at UK IPO. Well, Sony has been awarded the cost of £1,800 against Beijing Elix Technology after successfully opening the latter's Lord of War trademark application, according to a UK intellectual property office decision.
So I feel like we should backtrack.
That's it. That's the story. No, so no.
It's like a 5-sentence story, but we should backtrack. I feel the biggest loser is now Sony because they've lost their biggest exclusive to China. Now it's God of War is dead to me. Bring on the new Lord.
They won this lawsuit. They won the lawsuit.
Yeah, but
they
lost,
were awarded money.
Sony won the battle, but China will win the war. Don't you see where it's going?
Because they're going to come out with Lord of War anyway?
Yeah, Lords of War. That's how they're going to get around
it. We'll give you $3,000 and whatever, whatever how much.
Right.
You know, it's like
that's pounds, right?
$800. Yeah, that's pounds. Like, so it's probably like $2,800.
Yeah.
We'll give you the money. You know what? We'll give you more than that. We'll give you $5,000. We're using Lord of War. But instead of a kid, he adventures with a small bear.
Mm, how original.
A baby talking
the Lord
bear.
Of War. I'm going to translate their homepage right now, actually. This Beijing Elix Technology Company.
Oh, good Lord. Please don't.
Oh, my God. The world is flat. To the world, we provide the best interactive entertainment and internet service. Mm.
Oh, you know what? There was another big story that we didn't speak about. I'm going to look it up real quick while you
Okay,
vamp.
Steven, here's some of their games. Okay, you ready for this? Age of Warring Empire. Happy Farm. Clash of Kings. Bounce Hall. And Battle Alert. Now, I think Phil missed a chance to sue China with this Age of Warring Empire game.
There was big news.
Yes. I'm pretty sure Clash of Kings is Clash of Clans. Yeah, it has to be.
I can't find it. Where is it? It's got to be in this latest news, right? Tencent is at it again.
Oh God.
They just invested a ton of money in another game developer, but now
this
I don't remember
this
what
is
it
good.
Was.
People, but I've got to watch out for this shit.
Yeah, this is a problem.
Yeah.
It's probably from games industry, right? Industry.biz.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. This is an alarming trend. I mean, first it was fucking Quantic Dream. And then it was
Who the hell was it? Was it
Blizzard shit blew up and it was like, well,
it was the Astral Chain people, I think.
Oh, Platinum Games, yes. Yeah, that was their big announcement.
Yeah, Platinum Games, yeah, that's what it was.
Was there more? Did they buy up some other shit?
Funcom.
What do they do? That sounds familiar. That sounds like licensed games.
That's another problem. The gamesindustry.biz is one of the best websites for this, like those deep, dirty stories. Like 3 days ago, they had a headline: Riot Games denies collusion in gender discrimination lawsuit.
Collusion. What the hell?
Collusion. Dragon Ball is holding the number one in the UK charts.
Oh, Kakarot.
Activision Blizzard and Google sign an esports cloud deal. That was pretty interesting.
Oh my God, can we talk about Stadia at some point? It's like a gigantic, massive flop of a thing.
Oh, good Lord. It's just...
What do they do? It's like, stay in your lane, and I feel you have this unlimited, you know, gold coin pot you can dip into and fund so many things, and you can't find the right people to launch this, and it's like an embarrassment.
Wait a minute.
What?
There was big news in Sony land.
Oh,
even bigger news than what we have.
Besides our Kojima rumor?
Yes. Housemarque.
Oh, wait, were they purchased?
No, so Housemarque put all, this is on gamesindustry.biz, Housemarque put all other projects on hold to focus on, quote, most ambitious game to date.
See, I did read this,
Storm Divers, other upcoming titles, paused for unannounced project now 3 years in development. The Finnish studio behind Rezogun, Nex Machina, and Matterfall has announced that it will be putting all its currently in-developed projects on hold to work on its most ambitious title yet. The project being paused includes Storm... I just said those. Okay. This is a departure from what Housemark said in 2018 when it dedicated itself to crafting a new IP it described as ambitious and specified as a AAA title. Then the studio planned to keep working on Storm Divers alongside its other projects. And there were people thinking, pontificating.
But this is just another rumor.
Could, no, that, yeah, this next part
more
is,
rumors.
Could this be
a PS5 launch game?
A PS, could Sony purchase Housemark? Which they should have done.
So this is the same exact rumor, different company.
No, but the story is that they are making a AAA
right,
game
but this
is very far in development.
Listen,
and
these
is probably...
people have known to work well with Sony for a long time. That's like a second-party studio at this point, practically.
They wouldn't announce this. They wouldn't say this unless it was coming soon. And Sony has their thing coming in a few weeks.
Right.
So.
It's funded by Tencent.
Yeah. Tencent is now 11 Cent. Right. Give us your money. All right, let's get into the mailbag. Before we do, let's tell you about our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Melted Pins. Do you like really funky designs, like fun stuff to put make it look like a little enamel pin or a button? Well, artist Kelsey Lin, who's done art for this very podcast and this our very website and many other podcasts and websites, runs MeltedPins.com, where you can get original tattoo art inspired. Aforementioned pins, buttons, t-shirts, canvas bags. You name it. It's there. Space rockets. One day. If you want to support a fantastic artist, a very creative person, and quite frankly, a very kind human being, go to MeltedPins.com and use the checkout code NDSMelted, and you will get 10% off of your purchase. It's very simple. MeltedPins.com, checkout code NDS Melted, 10% off of your purchase. Woo! What else I got to tell you about? I'll tell you right now. We are also sponsored by the minds behind the adventure games, a brand new book by Patrick Hickey Jr.com. This, I started reading, Andy.
Good.
This is the second in his series. He, of course, has The Minds Behind the Games, which is a fantastic book as well. The adventure games, it's actually even better, guys and girls. You wouldn't believe it. But the games that he has in here are ridiculous. And you're going to hear from the horse's mouth what's going on, what happened in the development of these games. We got Grand Theft Auto. We got Boom Blocks. We got West of Loathing. We got Pitfall, for God's sakes. We got Croc. Croc, Andy.
What a Croc.
I believe we got Spider-Man and Venom and Maximum Carnage.
I like that one.
X-Men Legends.
Another good one.
Double Dragon.
The first one?
The Die Hard Trilogy. From the arcade to the Atari 2600 Extreme. Double Dragon.
So good.
That's with Dan Kitchen. Speaking of Kitchen, Gary Kitchen. Gets interviewed here for Gary Kitchen's Game Maker. Bro. You guys are idiots. Epic Mickey's in here. You should buy this book. Go to PatrickHickeyJr.com. Yes, PatrickHickeyJr.com, where he personalizes every single order. And let him know that Dual Screen sent you. Or you could go to Amazon.com and buy it directly from there, which it will come from his publisher. And that's it. All right, so let's go into the mailbag. Chat, this is your chance. If you have any questions you want us to answer, if you're watching this on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, throw those questions in the chat and I will read them. Let me check the Male Bage on our Discord, which you can join for $1 on our Patreon, patreon.com/NDSpodcast. First, yes, we should mention, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, and his 13-year-old daughter. Terrible accident.
I almost didn't believe that.
terrible accident. And, you know,
it makes me sick thinking about it, to be honest.
It does. And there was a minor Facebook argument that I got into with a stranger who was saying,
boy.
You feel sad. Nobody felt sad for the girl that he raped.
Oh, you know what? It had to go down that road, didn't it?
So I just want to say that nobody
that
here. Take
very long.
I am not just going to. I'm not saying I forgive him if he did something like that. We don't know if he did. We don't know what the story is. We know that it was settled behind the scenes, whatever.
Right.
But that's not what's so sad about this. What's. One of my biggest anxieties in my life is thinking about traveling with my children, getting into an airplane, and God forbid something happening, and having to look at them, and tell them that everything's going to be okay.
Right.
It is something that gave me anxiety. Remember when I was having really bad anxiety last summer?
Yes.
From that. Because we had, you know, we take trips, you know, sometimes we take long road trips, or right. we flew to Denver with them.
Right.
And a lot of it comes from that. And just picturing this man who's 41 years old with his 13-year-old child, going to a basketball game, living life to their fullest.
It was her, wasn't it her game they were going to?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And they had other teammates in the there were 9 people that perished.
Oh, dear God.
And for this to happen.
That sounds like a lot for a helicopter ride. 9 people.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know, I don't. I know that the man, Kobe Bryant, was loved by many.
Listen, the guy was an idol, dude. He's a legend.
Yeah. But I don't. I'm not necessarily mourning. The legend Kobe Bryant. I'm mourning the father Kobe Bryant.
Right. Well, that's where you can most relate to him, being a dad.
Right. And it just, you know, breaks my heart that happened. I feel for that family. They just had another child.
Right. Right.
Just a few months old, I think. Right. And his wife, my heart goes out to her, and she's going to be raising these 3 children with this hanging over her head, and it just sucks.
Right. But to your Facebook argument.
Yeah.
That's going to be a thing. You look out for it. There's going to be the certain outlets that just can't help themselves. And it's going to be like a Me Too talking point. Like, let's not forget what Kobe did. It's going to be, I shit you
allegedly.
Not, it's going to happen.
And listen,
I'm only mad thinking about
again,
it.
If it happened, there's no forgiving of it. I can't forgive that type of behavior. I never will.
Right.
But for whatever reason, there was the criminal suit. The witness didn't show up. The woman didn't show up to court, so it was dismissed. And then the civil suit was dropped. It was settled. It was settled out of court, right. Which a lot of those things, whether it happened or not, a lot of those things get settled.
Right.
You know what didn't get settled?
What?
What's his name? Bill Cosby. None of that shit was settled. That went hard.
Yeah,
courts.
That's still going on.
So, all right. Enough of that. It doesn't look like we have any questions this week, which is fine.
Yeah,
but if you do want
to... That's why no one thought to give us any questions this week.
I know. If you do want to write into us, you can write into us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. You can add us at ndspodcast. Or again, you could join our Patreon, patreon.com/ndspodcast, and you could go to the mailbag section and leave us a question. All right, Andy, this is the last week before we need to do our dissection of our retro game club.
Oh, boy.
So I will say this. Parasite Eve.
So you got it to work. You got it to work?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It 100% needs to be remastered.
Yes.
Because
hell
that
to
is the it's the perfect blend. I love the combat. Love it.
And that music.
I didn't get that far into it. It's good. I love the opening cutscene. I loved the mood that it sets.
The Rockefeller Center shot.
The Statue of Liberty. Right. But the actual combat in the game is so fun and thought out and fleshed out. I can't wait to get deeper into it. I'm probably not going to beat the game by next week, but...
Oh, you don't have to. We're just like, talk about it.
But I got a huge appreciation for why you like it. And it's... And you know me, I love my action RPGs. Mm-hmm. And this, like, really... I could see why you grew up loving that game.
Yeah. And I can tell why you like Dark Cloud so much. Because it's hard to pull away from it. Because once you start doing the whole, like, village rebuilding stuff...
And listening to, like, where they want to be placed. Right. And, like, yeah.
People's, like, wants and desires. I was like, fuck, I have other games to play. And nothing's on the line with this one. There's no stakes.
Right. My favorite thing about Dark Cloud, and I know you're going to get obsessed with it, is the weapon creation.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing and matching the different weapons and making completely new weapons. It's almost like Pokemon breeding.
Right.
It's almost like Jade Cocoon, but for weapons.
Right.
I'm
just shocked that this game didn't land like in Japan. Like, it didn't hit like a nerve in there. Like, it sold.
This is a level 5 game, right?
Right. And it sold. Yeah. I mean, it went on to sell like fairly well to get a sequel, but initially it wasn't like well received. But I think it's overdue for a sequel or a full-fledged remake at this point. So we have two games or potential PS5 remakes.
I really hope so, man. I hope that Dark Cloud sees some light, because that game is just... They had so many great ideas. Like, even the combat's good. It's very Zelda-like.
Mm-hmm.
You could switch between the 5 different characters. They all have different styles. There's, like, the fat dude with the big hammer.
Right.
There's the cat with the slingshot. Those are the ones that I can remember off the top of my head. I think there's a magic user. I don't remember off the top of my head, but man, I love that game. The second one, not as good. I hear a lot of people love it. Not for me. I wanted the weapon system back. Yeah, I didn't like the also, picture.
You can see the same exact thing for Parasite Eve. Second one?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. All right, folks, that is going to bring us to the end of the Dual Screens Gamescast.
That's it. We did it.
If you want to follow us on social media, you could do so. We are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/DualScreensPodcasts. And once again, you can watch this show each and every Sunday. We did this one very late because of the Royal Rumble and I had family over. But it usually on 9 p.m. on Sundays Eastern Time. On twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. Special thanks to our contributors, Matt Murray. Thank you for our beautiful Twitch overlay that we're using. I didn't use your new one because I forgot, but it's minor tweaks to it, so I'll do that for the next episode. But thank you very much for that. Thank you, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our lovely podcast art. And you can follow him at Angie Moto. Again, folks, join our Patreon if you want to hear our post show, which is going to be all about the Backlog Accountability Club. If you want to know about our backlogging, patreon.com/NDS podcast. If you want to buy our merch, go to teespring.com/store/dualscreenshop. And dual screens and shop are separated by hyphens. Dual-screens-shop. The link is always in the information, so you can go there. Once again, thank you one more time to Melted Pins and the Minds Behind the Adventure Games, out now. Andy?
Oh, this is my
turn. Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yes. Stay tuned for a very awesome and apparently very funny episode of the Dual Screens podcast this coming Thursday. Steve had an early cut, and he's listened to it, and he said it's quite hilarious. I'm looking forward to that.
I have right here. I took a snippet out of the show.
Oh, did you? Oh, wait. Are we going to tease?
I'm going to do a little teaser.
Oh, that's a great idea. See, this is why things are so good. This is why we're so good.
This is going to be a little teaser. Our guest, Anthony, he's making Junk Puncher.
It's a great name for a great game.
Little snippet. this is us talking about the poor Japanese translations that used to happen on the NES era. And this is just a little suggestion that I had for Junk Puncher. Please be excited. Yes. Some of these those typos and mistranslations become etched in history. Maybe you could reverse mistranslate. Like, make the Japanese text seem ridiculous. Like, find a word that's close enough.
But who would get that?
The Japanese, obviously. I mean, I feel like that's pretty obvious there, Andy.
So, this game being huge in the Japanese market then there, Anthony?
Man, do these guys even know Japanese? Who translated this?
That is a little sneak preview. And that is the Dual Screens Games Cast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Andy, thank you for recording with me.
That was a lot of fun. And now, I look sick in a win, so I hate you.
Yeah. Take care, and as always, please be excellent.